The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. So a fan or a follower? A fan or a follower? Well, we know that Jesus indeed had lots of fans. We hear that all through the gospel lessons, the great number of crowds that followed him around. And he certainly didn't discourage them at all. People would come to him curious, wondering, "Who is this man and what kinds of things is he doing?" They might have been a little bit entertained by his actions, and especially the way he had this habit of creating quite a buzz when around religious authorities. People followed him around, watching, eager for more, sometimes demanding signs or seeking healing. And when Jesus did heal, like in today's gospel, he often tells them, "Now don't tell anybody who I am." But that didn't work quite so well, because word spread quickly about Jesus, so that there were always great crowds around him. But even before the mighty Seahawks, Jesus knew the importance of the 12th man. He had his 12 disciples, those who were closest to him, shaping them to be followers. So in private, as they're walking, Jesus asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And it turns out that people weren't quite sure who Jesus was. Some thought maybe he was John the Baptist or Elijah reincarnated. Some thought maybe he was some new prophet. And then he asks his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And in this case, Peter is the super fan, because he comes up with the right answer. He says, "You are the Messiah who came to save us." And then Jesus talks about who he is as this Messiah. He talks about being rejected. He talks about suffering. And he talks about how he's going to die. So Peter stops him, because this is not what Peter expected of Jesus, nor is it who he wanted Jesus to be. "Who do you say that I am?" We know that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is indeed the one who came to save us. Yet too often, I think we find ourselves in the same place that Peter was in. Like Peter, we want to pull Jesus aside and make him be the Savior that we want him to be. We want that comfort and that peace that he offers us. But we don't really want to be challenged to step outside of that comfort and peace. We don't want to be bothered to see that and know that things in this world are not how God intended them to be. Because we don't want to see the pain. We don't want to see the hurt or the hunger. We don't want to hear about the suffering and death or be challenged to take up our crosses, because crosses are big, they're heavy, unwieldy, uncomfortable, scary. Too often we forget that our faith in Jesus is a relationship. It's a relationship between us and God. And this relationship directly impacts how we relate to one another, how we live together, how we are in relationship with each other, the things that we say and the things that we do. It also directly impacts our relationship between us and the whole world, with God's people everywhere. And I mean everywhere, all throughout the world. And how we as people also are in relationship with all of creation. Because faith is not just a personal or private thing. It's not that once we confess Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, then we're good to go. I mean, that's an important step, moving us in many ways from being a fan to a follower. But there is that following piece. Because we are followers of Christ. And we know that faith is a journey. It's a way of living. A way of living out our relationship with our loving and our giving and our forgiving God. Kind of has to be this way. Because we know that as we live our lives, we're not spared from rejection, from suffering, from pain, even death. We know this because we experience those things, and so do our loved ones. There is suffering around the world, war and famine, disease. People are not always treated or looked upon as brothers and sisters in Christ. In our world, in our own country, even in our own community, and maybe even in our own families. The question of faith has to do with how do we live in relationship with God and with each other? In the midst of all the pain and the suffering and the injustice that's in our world, how do we live our lives as followers of Jesus? Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And where does he go from there? Well, he offers his very life and goes out to love his neighbor no matter what, at any cost. Jesus calls us out of our comfortable and peaceful existence to places of injustice and suffering, so that we, as his body here on this earth today, can be his hands and his feet, his heart and his voice. To go to places where nobody else seems to care. To reach out, to speak up, to help those who are hurting and lonely, hungry, and voiceless. Now we know that faith is all about grace. We teach that, we know that, we sing about that, we hold on to that. It's about the grace of God. It's a gift, an undeserved, unearned, amazing gift of God. Yet we also know that faith grows and blossoms when it's lived out. Martin Luther says, faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. John Wesley says, as people of faith, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Mother Teresa says, at the end of life, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we have received, how much money we have made, how many great things we have done. We will be judged by, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was homeless, and you took me in. Jesus Christ says, love one another as I have loved you. God's work, our hands, our hearts, our voices. We are, as Mother Teresa said, a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. I love that. Let me say that again. We are a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. As we seek to follow Jesus, we are this love letter. We live out his love in our lives. And we ask God to bless us. Because we know that we can't do it on our own. We need each other, and we especially need God. So today, I would like to offer us a blessing as we go about God's work. So first of all, I'd like you to hold your hands out for a blessing. Everybody do it. Okay. And I will offer a prayer. So let us pray. God, use our hands to work for justice, to share the peace of Christ, and to reach out in love to our neighbor. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now we're going to put our hand to our mouth, and you can maybe put one hand to your mouth and one kind of by your vocal cords, and we're going to offer prayer for a blessing of our voices. Let us pray. God, use our voices to praise you in word and song, to speak on behalf of those with no voice, and to encourage and build up others as your beloved children. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now the final blessing is a blessing upon our heart. Let us pray. God, use our hearts to sincerely desire a deeper relationship with you, and to follow Jesus with our whole lives. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God's work, our hands, our hearts, our voices. Amen.